Good morning. Today's daf is daf ayin hey. So we got to the last two lines of ayin dalet amud beis. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, hakorei al manas litfor. A person tears cloth in order to sew. So it asks Gemara, kriya b'mishkan mihava. Was there kriya? Was there tearing the Mishkan? Was kriya a part of building the Mishkan? Why would you ever tear anything? And so the Gemara explains that Rabba, Rabbi Zera, Damri Tavaya, both of them hold, going on to Daf Ayin Hey now, Shekein Yiriya Shanafa Ba Darna. If there's a certain worm made a hole in it, look at Rashi, Korimba, you tear it, the Tofrin Osa. Rashi explains the very top line of Ayin Hey, Darna is Talas, a worm, Uminakev is Bonekev Katon, V'Agul makes a small little hole in the curtain, V'Tzarech Lekro Lemata Ulamala Esanekev, you need to tear a little bit above and a little bit below the hole, shlote hatfir asuya kimatin kimatin. Because if you make try to sew a very small hole, it's going to come out a little bit bumpy. So you need to tear a bigger hole in order to make a smoother type of a stitch in between. So that's why you do a kareya amanas litfor. So the Gemara says, Amr Rav Zutcha bar Tuvia, Amr Rav hamoseach chut shatfir. One who pulls a thread of a Shabbos is chayv chatas. The case Rashi explains is, let's say you have a little pull in your cloth of the thread and you pull it. You know, pull a tube gun tight in order to make everything smooth, that would be a violation of tofer. If you just look at Rashi to describe it a little bit clearer, it says Rashi, Moseach chut shatvir, you pull a thread, a string of a stitch, beged ha-tofer ve-omed, you have a beged that's been sewed, ve-haniach chut aruch, and one of the threads are longer, ve-nispardu shtei chatichos ha-beged zu mizu, and two parts of the clothing begin to separate from each other, there's an opening in the thread, ve-miktas a little bit, ve-chut ha-tfiros nimshachen, and the threads are kind of pulling out, Moseach has Rashi Achud, you pull the ends of the thread in order to flatten everything, to bring the cloth together, lahadeik, to tighten it, lachaber, and to connect them, zuhi, tiraso, v'chayv. This would be an example of tfira, and one would be chayv. The Gemara then says, halo v'alomid, completely different topic now, v'alomid, davar echad minha magish. A person learned from a magish, we'll see just in a second what that means, chayv misa, one is chayv misa, for doing so, v'yodeh lachashev tkufos umazalos, v'eno choshev oser lisaper heimanu. A person who knows how to calculate different calculations and constellations and stars and things above, mazalos and moons and orbits, all that kind of stuff, the sun and a moon work in terms of the calendar, one who knows how to and is not willing to do so and help in various areas of halacha, such a person is a usher to listen to him. See, he has a wealth of information, not willing to share it, not willing to utilize it. That person is very much frowned upon. So this becomes an interesting discussion, this concept of knowing how the astrology and astronomy works. So there's a question in the Rishon whether or not this is a mitzvah or not. The Rambam holds that this is a mitzvah, and it's the mitzvah including Yedias Hashem. Yedias Hashem is understanding Hashem, understanding science and math and nature and the stars and everything. That's all part of Yedias Hashem. The more you know, it's a more fulfillment of Yedias Hashem. And according to the Smag says it is a mitzvah, but not because Yedias Hashem, not because knowing knowledge helps you realize Hashem, but it's for a practical purpose. The Smag says it's practical in terms of knowing how the sun and a moon work with each other, how the calendar works, and that's why it's essential in terms of adding a month for Pesach to be in spring. It's just needed for the calendar, for logistical reasons you have to understand how it works, but not because Yedias Hashem. And yet the Ramban says there's no mitzvah here to even speak of. It's something to Yedias HaTorah, Yedias Hashem, but not because of the mitzvah of Yedias Hashem. It's just some information. So that itself is quite interesting. And I saw another discussion here in the back about the idea of mentioning the Moled, the need to mention the Moled when the moon is going to be seen in Yerushalayim. Is that needed? Is that really part of Mevarchim HaChodesh? So it really comes to the crux of what is Mevarchim HaChodesh? What's the purpose and function of Mevarchim HaChodesh? So there's a sefer called the Sheiras Yaakov, and he says it's really not necessary to mention the Moled. He talks about how people would ask, what's the Moled? What's the Moled? And he says it's entirely unnecessary according to his understanding. Because the whole idea of Birchas HaChodesh is a tefillah on the upcoming month. It's supposed to be a tefillah that everything should be good. That's why we say the Yiratzom. And therefore, there is no place to mention mentioning the Molech. People do it. That's been the practice. But certainly not essential to the tefillah of the Chodesh. That is not the mainstream understanding. Others say that the reason why you do Birchas HaChodesh, Mevarchas HaChodesh, is simply to remind everyone when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. And as a reminder, therefore, mentioning the Molad is important so people know when Rosh Chodesh will be. So it is essential, but the whole concept is just a Zikaron Ba'alma, and the Aruch HaShulchan has yet a third approach that the Mevarech HaChodesh was instituted as a model of Kiddush HaChodesh. In the times of the Beis Din, they wouldn't calculate the months based on a calendar. Rather, when the new moon would appear, the two Eidim would come and testify to Beis Din. That would be Kiddush HaChodesh. So to kind of replicate Kiddush HaChodesh, we have a Mevarech HaChodesh on every single Shabbos, like this Shabbos, prior to Rosh Chodesh. So it is unclear whether or not it's necessary to mention the Molad in each of these different approaches, but we understand that it is important to know when the moon renews itself as part of a halach. So the Gemara now says, we mentioned above, one of the things that Rav said was that halomei davar echad min amogish chai misa. One who learns from a mogish is chai misa. What exactly is a mogish? So Gemara says, six lines down, Mugushta, Rav Shmuel, they had a machlokas. Chadamar Harashi, Chadamar Gedufi. What are these? What's a Harashi? What's a Gedufi? So Rashi explains that Mugushi, Chadamar Harashi is Mechashef. There's witchcraft, magic of some sort. But Chadamar Gedufi is Min Ha'adug Bavodazara, a Apikores, who is very much, he's immersed in Avodah Zarah. Umegadev Tamid Es Hashem. He's constantly cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umeisis Anashin Avodah Zarah. And he's missionizing other people to worship Avodah Zarah and other such religions. So Harashi is not as bad. And Bachashiv is violating Isser of witchcraft. But the other opinion of Gadufe, he's a mamish violating Avodah Zarah. So at this time, let's conclude that Rav, the Amar Gedufe, Rav is the one who says Gedufe, that he's an Obed of Avodah Zarah, he's a Mesis, the Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvi Amar Rav, Halobi Davar Echad Min Amogosh, Chai Misa, he's Chai Misa. So you don't be Chai Misa if you're involved in being a Mesis. The Isak Adai De Charashi. If this Magusha is simply, Magusha is simply a person who's performing witchcraft, Dichsev Lo Silamir Lasos, Abata Lamir Lahavin Leros Tistayim. That because it had it been that it's harashi, there's actually a din that one cannot perform witchcraft, but one should certainly learn about witchcraft to understand how it works and what's permitted and what's not permissible. This is discussed in the Gemara's in Sanhedrin, so that wouldn't be chai misa for doing so, for learning from such a person. You should learn from magicians to know how things work. But if you're going to say that it's a chai misa, it can't be simply a mechashiv, a harashi, must therefore be a gedufi, and that's how the Gemara, in fact, concludes. So Gemara then says, "Amar b'shim ben Pazi, Amar b'shim ben Levi, Mishim bar Kabar, Kol yodei lechashiv betkufos mazalos ve'ino choshev alav." One who knows how to calculate various, the solar system, how those the stars and constellations and planets, all that works. So with such a person, and he doesn't do so, ve'ino choshev alav akasav omer, about such a person, the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, it says as follows, that ve'es po Hashem lo yabitu umasa yadav lo ra'u. He's not willing to look to investigate how Hashem runs the world. So Amr Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shemitzvah ala adam lechashiv tkufos umazalos. How does one know that there in fact is a mitzvah to know how to calculate these things, the calendars and the months and the seasons and the mazalos? Shenem artezu ushmartem va'asisem, you should preserve, you should perform. Ki hi chachmasam v'inascham le'ed neham, and this is a wisdom amongst and on the eyes of the world. Ezu chachma bina shil'ed neham, and what is the wisdom in the eyes of the world? Havi omer ze chishiv tkufos umazalos. So this is a raya that there in fact is a mitzvah to understand them, but the Ramban says that mitzvah is lav dafke. It doesn't really mean it's one of the taryag mitzvahs. Gemara now says hatzad tzvi, one who catches a tzvi, that's one of the avos malachos. Tanur rabbanon hatzad chilazon, one who catches the chilazon, which is the worm, the fish, the type of whatever type of animal it is that you use for tchelas v'hapotzo, and one who then squeeze it to extract the blood for the purpose of the techeles, sa'ein chayv alachas, one is only chayv one violation, and why? And Rashi explains here, enu chayv alachas mishum tseida, aval apsia lekachiv, there is no violation of psia, we'll see why in just a second. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, omer chayv shayim, you chayv two malachas. Shahay Rabbi Yehuda omer, petsia bechlal disha, he felt that extracting the blood is like disha, sochet, schita, is a tolda of dash, that if a person extracts liquid from orange, from some other, from olive, from grapes, this is a schita, a tolda of dash. So extracting blood, potseya, is considered a tolda, is bechaldisha. So what's the response? Why did the Chachamim think otherwise? Amalo, Ein Ptia Bechlau Disha. They don't think Ptia is Bechlau Disha. So Amar Rava, my time at Durban. What's the reason? Why is it not? Isn't extracting something? Kesavri Ein Disha Ella Ligadu Lekarka. They are of the opinion that the Disha only applies to that which grows from the ground. Chilazim doesn't grow from the ground, and therefore not Chayiv in Disha. So the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Huda, that the rather Rabbanim that Ein Disha Ella Ligadu Lekarka. So the big question becomes, the Gemara says, Chole, one who milks a cow is Chayiv Mishum Disha. Why? A cow isn't Gedulei Karka. How is that allowed? So some say, because that Gemara holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Yehuda holds that Disha applies to even that which is not Gedulei Karka, and therefore a cow is subject to a Disha. Yet others say that, no, even though we pass on Chachamim Ein Disha Ela Gedulei Karka, the understanding was that even certain animals are considered Gedulei Karka. They don't grow from the ground, but since they nourish themselves from that which grows from the ground, this is an extension of Gedulei Karka. We have such a precedent in terms of Maaser Sheni that even that which eats from the ground is considered Gedulei Karka. So here as well, the Or Zeruah says that animals which eat and feed off the ground, they are considered Gedulei Karka Legabe Adisha, and therefore would be subject to Mefarik and others. Well, again, others say not. Tosa says no. Gedulei Karka only means that which actually grows in the ground, and the only reason one is Chayiv Mishim Cholev on that which is a told of Dash on a cow is because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you don't need to have Ein Disha Ela Gedulei Karka. Disha applies even beyond Gedulei Karka. Fine. Gemara now says Vayter. Ulechayiv Nami Mishim Netilas Neshama. So why don't you say there's a third violation, a third balacha, a third for Rabbi Yehuda, and a second one for Chachamim of killing the chilazon, the tilas neshama? Why is that not one? So the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yochanan shepatu meis, you only are potay the animal, the chilazon, the blood after it's dead. So it's already dead. That's the case. Rav Amar afilu teima shepatu chai. Even if you're going to squeeze the blood out, extract the blood when it's alive, you're not chayav mitshum netilas neshama. Misasik who ate on netilas neshama. It's considered misasik. We spoke about misasik. You have no intention of this act of killing at the time. And says Rashi explains misasik who ate on netilas neshama. Klomar legavi netilas neshama have misasik b'davar acher. You're busy trying to extract blood for the die. In terms of the life and death of the chilazon, that's completely off your radar. That's misasik legavi netilas neshama. V'lo havi melachas machsheves sheinu miskavin neshamas. You have no kavanah. It's davar sheinu miskavin. It's misasik. The Gemara says, "V'ha abai v'rava damri tavai." But don't both of them say, "Ma'udu Rabbi Shimon v'psik reisha lo yamos"? Even though Rabbi Shimon says, "Davar Shem Skavin is mut in general," Misasik is mut in general. If the outcome is going to be inevitable, if it's going to be a psik reisha lo yamos, so even Rabbi Shimon would agree that usher to do so. When you're squeezing out the blood from the chilazon, isn't it inevitable that you're going to kill the animal? You're going to take netilas neshama. So the Gemara says, "Shaini hacha." This case is different. The kamad isbe neshama tfei nichale. So long as the chilazon is still alive, the better it is, kiecha deleitel tive, in order for the die to be clear. You don't want to kill the animal. You're dafka trying not to kill the chilazon. Says Rashi to explain this, around seven narrow lines up, tfei nichale, shadam hachai, the blood of the live, tov midam hameis, is better, it's pure, it's cleaner than the blood of the dead. V'chevin decholatzmo miskabin v'tarech l'shomro shlo yamas b'yada. That when the person is extracting the blood from the chilazon, he's trying his best not to kill the chilazon. Afil meis, even if it does die, ain kan el masasek, that's masasek. That was what he didn't want to accomplish. The chimod Rabbi Shimon b'midei delo ich paslei. Rabbi Shimon only agrees when something happens that he doesn't care about. Imis shame, and or it might happen, might not happen. Okay, he's not bothered. Umiu mechaven lo mechaven. He's not mechaven to the outcome, but he doesn't really care whether it happens or doesn't happen. But here, he dafka does not want to happen. It's delo nichle psik reisha delo nichle. He doesn't want to happen, and therefore that would not be bechlal any isuk. So therefore, netilas neshama is not relevant either because Rabbi Yochanan says we're talking about where the animal is already dead, or Rava where you're trying your best to keep the animal still alive. If you take a look at Tosos Dibur Maskel tvei nichle kiecha deleitel tzvei. Perish Ravagav that Psik Resha the mode of Rabbi Shimon. Even though it's Psik Resha and Rabbi Shimon agrees it's Aser, Hachab Miftar here, he says it's Pater. Bishim Dahavi Malacha Shanshicha Lagufa, Dafil Bimakaka Pater Bishim Malacha Shanshicha Lagufa, that even though Malacha Shanshicha Lagufa would perhaps be Aser, when it's a kilkel, from when it's a kilkel, it would be a mutter. Meaning, mash maslay damer mekalka b'chabura chayv. Who's the one who holds a kilkel b'chabura? A destructive act is chayv that's Rabbi Shimon. But when it's a case of, ha, amar mlacha shen shuch l'gufa pater. But he also holds that a mlacha shen shuch l'gufa is pater.
So the chimod, the rishim of psikresha, when Rabbi Shimon agrees that psikresha is aser, hanimila b'mida nichle, that which is that you like, but that which you delo nichle, lo ichmasle, he agrees that it would not be aser. Okay. Gemara now says, last the lines of ayin, heim, and alf, it says as follows, that hashoch, the one who shechs the animal, is chayiv. Shochet mishumai, what is the violation of shochet? So the Gemara says that Rav Amar Mishum Tzoveya and Shmuel Amar Mishum Netilas Neshama. One is the reason why that Shochet is Aser is because it dies, it colors the skin of the animal. And the other understanding is no, because it kills, it takes away the Neshama. It's the act of taking away. If you look at the top Rashi in Amar Beis, Rashi says Mishum Tzoveya, Tzoveya Sabasa Shabes Hashchita. It colors the area of the place of the neck where the animal was shefted. We're going to see in a little bit, who cares, what's the kavana of tzaveh, what's the relevance of coloring the skin of the animal. We'll see that in just a bit. And, or, alternatively, Mishum Netias Hashama, where do you find Netias Hashama in the Mishkan? Says Rashi, the Netias Hashama have in Mishkan, be'ayalim, be'madamim, be'tachash, be'chilazim, the various animals that were used for the dye, so removing the life of the rims and the tachash and the chilazim, that was part of the building of the Mishkan, and there would be Netias Hashama. So is it because of Tzaveya coloring, or is it because of Netias Hashama? To which the Gemara says, the top line of Ayin Heimer Bey is Mishum Tzaveya in Mishum Netias Hashama lo. It's only a problem of Tzaveya, of coloring. It's not a problem of Netias Hashama. Ema Af Mishum Tzaveya. They should be both a problem of both coloring and of Netias Hashama. So Amar Rav Milsa Dami Ema Ba Milsa Delo Leisid Dari Basrei V'lich Kalai. It says, when you say something, don't say something that's going to cause people to laugh after you. Something strange. So, Tzaveya B'mai Nichalei. What good is the coloring the skin of the animal? It's good that the Beis HaShechita is full of blood. Why is it beneficial when you shecht an animal? So this way people see the blood, they see the fresh shechita, and then actually, apparently, it causes more people, more interest, more demand to buy the animal, and therefore it is somewhat beneficial by having it. The bloodier it is, the better it is. So the Gemara then quotes from the Mishnah, HaMoluch HaMav, the one who salts and one who treats the leather. So the Gemara says these are two different malachos, the Mishnah says, and the Gemara says they're two different malachos, haydin malach, haydin ma'aved. Aren't they both the ways of treating the skin? Isn't they both salting? When you treat the skin, isn't that salting? So Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, Damar Tavaya, both of them hold, apik chadminayu v'ayl sirtu. You're right, it's a repeat. So let's take one of them off the list, and we'll add, we'll replace it with sirtu. What is sirtit? Rashi says, "V'ayil sirtit l'fisha derech haratzanim." The way of the leather makers. Kishu balachadcho misartatel tchila kvimashi rota laharich ulaharich. You want to cut leather before doing so, you might make a sirtit. Sirtit is like a little incision line of what you want to carve out. So you first etch it out with sirtit and mashi rota laharich laharich. Says Rashi, "Lakatzir hachitach." And then you cut through derech hasirtit. The sirtit is just a way of like dotting lines or so, how to cut things properly. That's the function of it. The Rambam agrees that sirtit in the way Rashi describes would be usr, but that would actually be only a tolda of the av of sirtit. What's the av of sirtit? Says the Rambam, it's when a sofer is writing tefillin or mezuzah or sefer Torah, and he makes sirtit. If you look inside the tefillin and sefer Torah, you'll see these sirtit, these lines that keep the writing straight. It's not a line you make in order to cut through the parchment, it's a line you make to have the line straight, and therefore not because of cutting. And that's what the Abimelech is according to the Rambam, about making straight lines for the purpose of writing, and not making straight lines for the purpose of cutting. Again, they both agree that they're both usher, but they only debate what is considered the Abimelech. So the Gemara then says, Amar Abba Bar Rav Huna, Haiman de Malach Bisra, Chayv Mishum Ma'abed. Person who salts the meat, he's Chayv Mishum Ma'abed, and that's considered treating the skin, and that would be subject to an Isser. And Rav Amar Ein Ibud B'Ochlin, he argues and says, no, Ibud, salting food is not an Isser at all, it's completely permitted. So the Gemara says, just Tosa says on top here, Ein Ibud B'Ochlin, Ein Lahatir Mikad Melichas Ochlin Da'asa Midirbanon. Even though it might not be an Isser Midiraisa, it still is an Isser Midirbanon to salt food. So we'll see that. Does that mean you can't put salt in chicken soup, you can't put salt in chilant? Now, there are other concerns of salt in terms of the questions of Bishul. We discussed salt in a Kli Rishon, a Kli Sheni. Some salt already is cooked before because they extract it by drying up the water and evaporating the water. It went through some process of afia or perhaps the process of Bishul. So questions of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul are not so relevant depending where the salt comes from. Sometimes they just mine salt elsewhere without going through a process of Bishul. But a lot of salt, at least in America, already went through some type of cooking process and there are more leniencies there. But forgetting that issue of the cooking, just salting food stam could possibly be a problem. Even though it might not be the rice according to Rabbah, that's why Paskin, it is still an Isser Midrabanam. So is there any such heter to salt food, avoiding any questions of Bishul? So Amar Rav Ashi says, Rafil Rabba Bar Rav Huna, even though he holds that salting meat would be Aser, Lo Amar Ella the Kabayle Lo Orche, Avala Beisei Lo Masha Inish Michle Eis. What does that mean? If you look at Rashi is the Kabayle Lo Orche, when you Shemol Chaharbe, when you salt a lot, when there's a lot of salt, only that would be Aser. But a little bit of salt, no one wants to make their food into like eights and wood and completely dried out. And it's only if there's a lot that the post can talk about salting. It would be a significant amount of salting. Like one would salt meat to when after shechni you have to salt the meat to extract the blood. That's a type of salting that would be subject to an iser. But if it's a small amount of salt, that would not be a subject to this concern. Even according to Rabbah Bar Rav Huna, who thinks in general salting does apply to food, but even certainly according to Rava, who thinks that it's only iser midrabanan, salting lightly would not be of concern. The Gemara then says, "Hamemachko, hamechatko, Amar Rav Rabbi Acha bar Chanina, hashaf bein haamudim b'Shabbos chayv mishum memachik." What's shaf bein haamudim? Says Rashi, "Hashaf bein haamudim could go in amudei achsadrios, some pillars of these different outdoor areas. Shasun chalonos they made of a lot of windows. V'nismachen machalonos bein amud l'amud between the pillars, you have a lot of windows going from one direction to the other direction. V'shaf sham b'karkaros habinyan shenishanin alav. You kind of flatten out the ground upon which you're leaning. If you smooth out the ground in that area, so that would be subject to memachik." Gemara then says, "Amar Rabbi Yechiya bar Abba, shlosha dvarim sachli Rav Ashi." There are three matters that Rav Ashi told me. Mishmei de Bishu ben Levi, the name of Bishu ben Levi. Hamagarer rasha klonsos b'shabbos chay mishum mechatech. A person who kind of scrapes the end of some type of pole, he's chay mishum memachik by smoothing it, and then mechatech rather, he's chai because he's measuring, he's carving out an exact measure. Hamimareach v'tia, one who spreads out some type of bandage b'shabbos, chai mishum memachek, by smoothing something out. He's machlik, rashi's machlik, hatachboshes al hamaka, he smooths out the band-aid on the maka. This doesn't apply to our types of band-aids. And then hamasateh says, even a person who carves out a stone, b'shabbos chai mishum maka b'patish. So these are just, again, we're listing different types of actions on Shabbos, which are subject to different types of malachos. Rashi points out here, Hamasate says to Eben, Chai Mishim Maki Bepatish, one who chisels out a rock is Chai Mishim Maki Bepatish. Aval says Tosos Mishim Mechatech Umimachik, when it comes to these two malachas, Alom Mechayiv, Demari Bishakvar Hai Mubas Mutukenis. We're talking about a rock that's already been squared, so Mechatech doesn't exist at this point, and it's already been smooth, so it's not Mimachik either. Elan Shemiyafa, also, you just kind of add some final touches on it. Vyosaba Sirtutin Vyifoy, some decoration, some designs on it. Kain Shosin Achshav Misate Havanim. So that would be an addition of Makib Bepatish. It's a Gemar Mlacha, says Rashi. So then the Gemara says halfway down the Amadir, Amr Bishum ben Kisma, Amr Bishum ben Lakish, Hatsar, Tur Bekli, Hamenafeach Bekli Zuchuchis, a person who draws a picture on a utensil, one who blows into a Kli Zuchuchis, into glass to form it, Chayiv Bishum Makib Patish, one is Chayiv because he's completed the act. Rabbi Nachman on the side actually says that one who draws a Tzura, an image, on a Kli is subject to the violation of Kosev as well, but it seems that the other ones are not don't think so. So why is there no kosev here? If you make a nice image on the outside of a kli, why is it not considered kosev? So the Merkavta Misha is on of the understanding that kosev of a image of a picture is only when written on a wall or written on paper. When it comes to a kli, however, writing letters on a kli would be kosev, but writing images on a kli would only be a chayv mishum makib b'patish. I'm not sure the difference. Perhaps the difference is that people are not don't usually read kalim. You read walls, things written on walls, you read paper, but people don't read kalim. So So made out of, actually doesn't really make so much sense. I'm not really sure the difference. He does make such a chiluk between a keli, drawing an image on a keli, versus drawing an image on paper. One is kosev, one is not kosev. But again, I'm not entirely sure of the distinction. The Gemara then says that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Haiman the Shakal Akufe Miglimi Chai B'Shemakim Patish. So a person, what does this mean? If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says the Shakal Akufe Rashi Chutin Hatulin Yeria. There are some threads that are kind of suspended from the side of the curtain. But Malcolm Kshurim, where you tie it, Kshenitik Bachur Kasho, where you pull the string and you tie things together. V'chein Kashin Ksamim Dakin Shenargubo Below Miskavin V'Notlin Osam Mimena Lachariga. After you've completed weaving, you kind of pull out the end threads that are dangling on the side. One who removes those, cuts those off, is Gemar Mlacho, that completes the action of making the cloth, the Chai Mishim Maka Bipatish. And says the Gemara, again, the honey mealy only to copper a lie, only the person really cares that the threads are there. If the guy doesn't care that they're there and he pulls them off, that's not called Maka Bipatish. Maka Bipatish only when it's a relevant, a significant Mlacho. So the Gemara then quotes from the Mishnah further, V'ha-Kosev Ishtei-Osis, one who writes two letters is Chai Mishim Kosev. Tatanir Abanan Kosev Achas Gedola, one who writes a very large letter, but in the area where he writes, he could have, in theory, written two letters, he's Potter. Because in the end of the day, it's not about the size, it's about the quantity of how many. So since he only wrote one letter, even though it's the size of two letters, you're Potter. But let's say, Machak Os Gedola, you erase a large letter, and now in place you have the area to write two letters, chayv, because mechik is not about what you erase, mechik is about creating the availability, the possibility of writing two letters. So you erase something to create a platform for two letters. So Amar Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, Vezech Homer B'Mochek, B'Mekosev, this is an area where we find Mochek is actually more stringent than writing. You can write a certain size and be potter, but you could erase the same exact size and be chayv achatas. Habone, says the Gemara, Vasosev, V'Amechav, V'Amavir, V'Amachav, V'Patish, these are the final five, other than Mohotzah, Melachas on the Mishnah, Rabba, Rabbi Zera, Damri Tavayo, both of them hold anything that has a completion of an act is makbe patish. If it's really finished, if the kli is unusable without makbe patish, without the final blow, that's considered a gemar melacha. But let's say the item is usable and you do some final touches, so then that won't be makbe patish. Makbe patish is very hard to understand how to apply it. I'll give you an example. Let's say a person puts stays in their collar. Is that makbe patish? Is that considered completing the act or not? And the answer is it's not considered completing the act, because I could wear my shirt without the stays. The stays makes it nicer, neater, more firm, but that's not going to be a violation of Makir Patish. So it's hard to know at what point certain things are going to be Makir Patish. And we mentioned above that if you have a kli and you add some designs on that, that's Makir Patish. But I could have used the kli without the designs. What makes that kli malacha? What makes that Makir Patish? Ekimar malacha, and putting stays not Makir Patish. So it's very hard to distinguish when it's an application of Makir Patish or not, but the very basic understanding is that anything that's a Gemar Melacha is Chai Mishim Makir Patish. Then the Gemar says, Eilu Avos Melachos, Eilu Lafuke from Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayiv Al Tol Demakam Av. When the Mishnah says at the end, these are the Avos Melachos, what's the significance of the Avos Melachos? That you're Chayiv Echadas for each Av, and including each Av is every Tolos. So if you do Zareya, and you also do Noteya, and Mashke, and Zomer, all those are fall under the rubric of an Av. The Av absorbs all the various Toldos. But there is an opinion out there, which is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and he holds that no, you're Chayiv a Tolda even B'Makom Av, which means if a person did Zareya and he also did Noteya, he'd be Chayiv separately, one for the Av and one for the Tolda. So then the Gemara says that the Chasar Achas, when it's Arbam Chasar Achas, Lafuki Mid Rehuda, the Tani Rehuda, Mosef Esa Shovet Medaktik, that he added in two other types of Mlachos. He added Shovet, which is a, I don't know how these things work exactly, but they're part of the process of weaving, and the Amulah, they say back to Behud in the Brisa, Shovet Harehu Bechal Mesach, Medaktik Harehu Bechal Orig, these are already included on their Avos that were already mentioned, and therefore they're not considered Avos. But according to Behuda, it sounds like Behuda would have 41 different Malachas, whatever those Avos actually are. I have to look into how to weave. I should really look at those videos that I think Ricky has once sent me before. Okay, let's finish off the daf now. The Gemara says, V'od klal acher. Give me 1 second, hold on. I wanted to say one thing. I forgot what it was. Okay, let's go weiter.
The Mishnah says, "Ve'od klal acher." We had said in the beginning of the parak that klal gadol, as we said, implied that there's another klal to come. So what's a klal? That's this Mishnah. "Ve'od klal acher." Amr, they said, "Kol hechsher hakasher latznia." That which is kasher latznia, that to hide, umatzin kamo, and people do hide it. "Ve'hotzi," and carry it on Shabbos. Shabbos chayv chatas olaf. So what does that mean? What does it mean kasher latznia? What does it mean matznin kamo? So Rashi explains all the way on the bottom of the Mishnah. Kol HaKasher, this is five lines up, the beginning of the line there, Kol HaKasher Latznia, Shumin HaAsar LeTzarech Adam, that which people try to hide and keep, that people use, and also Matznin Kamo Zeh, in the size that you're using, Kol HaShiesh Bashir HaRoy Latznia, it's considered a significant size that people would normally hold on to. So if a person has an item, that the item itself is something that people hold, keep, and preserve, and it's a size, so the Mishnah says, you carry this outside on Shabbos, you're Chai V'Chathas. But, the Mishnah says, in contrast, that which people don't normally hold on to. Vein matzino kamo, and it's not their or not the right shear. Vehotzia b'Shabbos eino chayv ela hamatzni. Only the person himself who does it, and others not. Meaning what? Rashi says here, ein chayv ela hamatzni im nasa chaviv la'adam echad. If one guy happens to hold on to this item, if it's new, chayv ahotzatsa im chazer vehotzio. Well, other macher, some other guy who doesn't do this, ain't no chayv alav. Meaning, let's say my neighbor likes to hold on to dirt. No one holds on to dirt. It's not kash latznia, but my neighbor does. So he thinks dirt is very, very important. So therefore, if he carries it, so then he's chayv chatas. If I were to carry it, I would not be chayv chatas. So the Gemara then says, kol kash latznia lafuke mai. What's it coming to exclude? What is not kash latznia? So Rapap Amar, Lafuke Dam Nida. Dam Nida, people don't hold on to, and therefore, if one were to carry that on Shabbos, he would not be Chai V'chatas. Mar Ukvamar, Lafuke Ate Asherah, Ate Asherah, which is Asir Ba'na, it's something that's disgusting, something that we have to get rid of and destroy, that is not something that people hold on to. That would be Pater for carrying it on Shabbos. Asir, but Pater Val Asir. So Man Damar Dam Nida, the one who holds Dam Nida, that's the example of, that's not what, that which is not Kash Lachnia. Kosher again, certainly Ate Asher. Ate Asher is more Eino Kosher Latznia. That you have to get rid of, to destroy the Ate Asher. But Man Damar Ate Asher, the one who gives the example that Ate Asher is an example of that which people don't hold on to. The implication is Dam Nida Matznia. People would hold on to Dam Nida. What's the significance of Dam Nida? Why would anyone hold on to Dam Nida? So Gemara says Matznia Lashinra, to feed your cats, to feed them. That's beneficial for them. But the other opinion, Ve'idach, Kevin Dechalshi Lo Matzunle. Apparently, if you feed the cats the blood of human blood, that makes the cat very weak, and no one would want to make the animal very weak, and therefore they think Damnida would be something that is not kosher, Latznia. And finally, we'll finish the Gemara here, these last three lines. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Haidilo Rabbi Shimon. This is not like Rabbi Shimon. What do you mean? Why not? The Rabbi Shimon Hamar Lo Amru Ka Shirim Halalo Ela Lematznin. So we'll see later on in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon in a later parak here. But the idea is that our mission, which says anything that has its kash latznia, and that which has the shear of of latznia, is asr for a person to do so. And it sounds like it's asr even for a person who's an usher. A person is very wealthy, even though it's a small item for him, it's still asr for him. But Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that these items, these shirim that were mentioned in the Mishnah, are only true for those individuals who hide it in such a way, this size. But an usher who doesn't hide the shear, I mean, we spoke of the Mishnah about people holding on to certain items, what the item is. But then what about in terms of the shiurim? So the shiurim that were given, where Rabbi Shimon says, we only mentioned for ani. An ani holds on to a very small item, is important to him, but for an ashi, it's not important. So our Mishnah says, whatever the shiur is, it applies across the board, bein ani, bein ashi. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the shiur that were given, that were presented, were only relevant for an ani. But an ashir, you would need a larger shiur to be mechayev an usher for carrying such an item, such a size, in Rishus HaRabim. You know, maybe we'll go, let's just go a little bit ahead onto Ayin Vav, to the next Mishnah. I just saw the Gemara says further, V'chol she'eino kasher latznia, that which is not something that people normally hold on to and preserve. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Elazar says, Ha'delok Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, this is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Why? The Sani, the Baraisa teaches us that Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol she'eino kasher latznia, Vein matznin kamo, v'huch shalazev itzniu, v'acher v'otziu, nischayiv zeh machsheva shalzeh. If my neighbor Reuven likes to hold on to Dam Nida, likes to hold on to Ate Asherah, or whatever the example, those aren't, I say Dam Nida might have been an example, but he holds on to something. And even though for me that shear is insignificant, but for him it is significant, so he's the one individual who does this, so for him he's chayiv. So our Mishnah said, so for my neighbor it's chayiv carrying that amount of dirt, but I'm pater. But Rabbi Shimon Balazar says, once my neighbor was machshiv, He was achshave. He applied this chashivas to this item, so memela, it applies to me as well. And if I were to carry this item, I'd be chayiv as well. So our Mishnah is not in accordance with the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We will stop here, and everyone have a wonderful day. We will continue with this tomorrow.